me just pray. Father, this is your journey and this is your freedom in my life. And Father, so in a sense, this is your testimony. And I am asking you to say what you want to say to everyone this morning. And not me, Father, but you, because I only stand here because of you. Thank you, Father. Amen. So, as Daniel said, we have been talking for a while and have been moving towards going on a journey with friends to freedom. And actually, there is an area in my life where I actually feel like I have come into a place of freedom that I've never been before in this area. And so I'll start right back at the beginning. I was born in 1960, and I would always describe my family as being a family in name only. We really didn't function as a family. I have a brother who's 4 years older than me, a mum and a dad, and a sister who was 7 years younger. And from a very young age, about 3 or 4, I knew that my mum didn't like me for some reason. I just didn't seem to. You know, I was always in trouble. I didn't think I was that naughty, but I was always in trouble. And there just wasn't a warmth. There just wasn't any kind of connection with mum. And my dad was a typical dad, self-employed fisherman in the 60s and 70s, mostly at work. And when he was at home, he was working. So he was a good dad. And I look back in my life and go, there were good moments, there were bright moments, you know, but not many, you know. And I had some things happen to me as a child that were not pleasant or good, and by the time I got to my sort of teens, life was very miserable, and I planned many, many ways of how I could get rid of myself because life was just a mess. It was a very, very painful place for me being alive, and it would be much better if I was dead. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about that and just how, you know, I could kind of stop all this pain. And I went to university and I became a Christian. And really, from that point on, that was the greatest day of my life because at that point, someone came into my life that said they loved me. And I hadn't heard that. I'd never heard those words. I'd never had that expressed towards me. And here's God saying, I love you. And then he said, I have a future for you. You know, when you grow up in a life like mine, you don't have a future. My parents divorced or separated when I was 16. I knew that's what my life was going to be like. I knew if I did get married, it was not going to be a success. And if I did have kids, man, that was just going to be a mess. You know, it was just going to be horrible. And from that point on, because he had used those two things that were so personal to me, it was my reaction to him was, okay, who are you? And I just said, you might as well have the whole of me because no one's ever said those two things to me and no one's ever given me a hope like you've just given me. So from that point on, I was just up for anything, really. And he started working on my self-esteem because loathing was a big thing for me. What was there to like? What was there to love? What was there to put any value on? And he started working on little things, one at a time, looking in the mirror and going, my eyes are amazing. You know, these are all things that people pick on and, you know, we've all had it. And your hair and your face and your skin and your nose and you generally, you know, and he does all of that. It was incredible. And my relationships with my family were horrendous. Never got any better. And I, particularly with my mum, because I was 16 when my dad left, and I lived at home with my mum, and because of everything that had happened previous to that, I was a very angry person. and volcanic. And I used to have an argument with my mum before I went to school, an argument when I came home. And I'm not just saying a little kind of, you know, raised voice. I mean an argument. And one before bed. And I was really tired, actually. I was tired, angry, and worn out. And the only way I knew how to get any kind of reaction out of my family was just to fight. And I kicked and I kicked and I kicked. And I told all of them, you know, I hated them because I hated myself. I was angry and I was just anything I could do to get a reaction, which for me, in a very perverse way, was a symbol that they loved me. It's a very strange place and it's a very hard world to be when you're in that sort of focus and you're in that place and there's no one else to talk to. So that continued on for a long time. And then it just, you know, with mum, it just never got any better. My mum is a very, very quiet person and doesn't really say a lot and doesn't give a lot. And I knew when I became a believer and started to see the things that God healed in my life, I knew that my mum was the same, that she was hurt, that she was damaged, and that she was incapable of giving to me. The little girl was the issue. The little girl inside, that it didn't matter how many years I grew, how old I got, it was the little girl inside that kept kicking out at my mum going, just love me, will you? Just please tell me that you love me. Just put your arms around me. Just look at me and give me something that says that I'm valuable to you, that you even wanted me, you know? And it was an extremely difficult place to be because, you know what, as Christians, you're not supposed to be doing any of this. You're not supposed to not like your family. You're not supposed to struggle with your family. You certainly don't tell people that you hate your family, you know, and that they cause you incredible pain. And you know, it's really hard, you know. It's a hard, lonely place to be. So what God was doing... And as I sort of step back and look at my life, he instantly entered my life and he started healing me when I was 20. And he instantly started working on me liking myself. And that was a big area to work on. And as I walk along with him, I can look and see the things that are along the path. It's like there are strands of healing. There are strands of things that he's working on. He never just works on one area. So while he was working on my family relationships, he was also healing me. So the concept of love is the most baffling thing. When you don't know what love looks like, when you haven't been brought up in love, when someone says they love you, or you use those words, it is the most baffling word. What is that? What does that look like? I've got no idea. Don't tell me that you love me. It's like, you know, kind of like mud falling off me. It's like it has no impact because there's nothing to stick to. So that's the thing he started with. He's very sensible, God. You know, he knows what he's doing. And I'm so grateful that he knows what he's doing. And so then, you know, the thing that I find really fascinating is the friendship thing that we're doing with Friends to Freedom. Because that's one of the other strands of healing. I never had friends. I didn't know how to be a friend. A friend was also a very baffling concept to me. I'd had people that I really liked being around them, but people were scary to me. So I could go this far in a friendship, and then it would be like, no, you don't get to come any further with me because love, I don't really know what that is. Can I trust you? You're a human being. They've been the great source of my hurt. So, you know, and I can see all these journeys that I've been going on. 15 years ago, my dad ended up having a quadruple bypass, and bizarrely, out of all of the family, I was the most able to go back and look after him. And I knew that Dad and I needed to get some stuff sorted out. We had a pretty good relationship, but I still knew there was some stuff that needed to happen. And God in the space of an hour talking to my dad, 35 years of, "Dad, do you think I'm beautiful? Do you love me? Are you proud of me?" Never heard any of those things. Never knew what he thought of me. And in the space of an hour, that was all gone. And he said to me, "You don't know how many times I go to bed at night and look at the photograph of you beside my bed." So there's a photograph of me at about 3 or 4, maybe 5, going, we're dressed up. You know, we live in the country, so it's knee-high socks and patent leather shoes, pretty dress, you know, going to town. And I'm with my dad, and we're going to town. And he said, "You don't know how many times I look at that photograph and wish that I could put you on my knee again and tell you how much I love you." Instantly, there's God again. And I said, "Well, you can do it now." And I didn't sit on his legs because he's just had a quadruple bypass. Keep that in mind. It would have killed him if I had. But he gave me a big hug. We just hugged each other. And he said, I do love you. I am so proud of you. You are the most beautiful thing to me, you know. And actually, it was gone. And again, I couldn't have had that had I not been ready to hear that, had my dad not been ready. But had I not had all these other journeys of love and healing and acceptance and friends, and I'm watching this, you know, I'm watching these lines of healing, this journey going on. The really big kahuna to me is my mum, a major issue. All these years, still kicking at this woman. You know, when I was looking after my dad, we had 2 or 3 fights in my dad's house, you know. My mum would always save the real gems just as you're about to walk out the door. "Have that, you know. What about this? What about that?" And you go, "Oh, thanks, mum," you know. But I wanted that to change. And I, you know, there were multiple times I got off the phone. I go, "I just can't. That woman, God, she's yours. I just can't cope with her. I just don't care if I ever talk to her again." But the God bit in me goes, "You know what? That isn't the answer. She is incredibly difficult. And again, I know that she is hurt. I know that she is wounded. I know that she is giving everything or not giving to me out of all of that. But it's this little girl who keeps reacting to her." And I, you know, have been praying a long time and battling away with that one and really struggling with it. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I decided that it was time really to, you know, kind of face this one. And I would always say to the Lord, "Look, just give me a year where she's actually my mum. You know, I feel like I've got a mother in front of me loving me." And, you know, I would have these kind of conversations with him, and there was never an answer to those conversations because they weren't really a conversation. They were just sort of requests that actually, if I had asked him, he would have told me what he then told me later. So I had said about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I said to the Lord, "Okay, you know, just, I know she can't do the year thing. Okay, it's just not going to happen that she'll get saved and that somehow she'll have this epiphany and she'll fall in love with me as her daughter. And okay, what about like 6 months?" And I could see him just shaking his head. Okay, 6 months. Right, a month. Give me a month with her. No. Okay, give me a week. Just give me a week with her before she goes home to, you know, just a week. No. Okay. An hour in the hospital before she goes to be with you. No. A smile on just before she closes her eyes. And he just said to me, "It's not that it's not possible for me to have that happen, but it's impossible for her. She has nothing within her to give you the things that you need. But I have something for you." And he said, The very thing you want, you will have in heaven." And immediately I went, oh, well, that's eternity. So what you're saying is, A, you're telling me that you're going to deal with the salvation thing. This is, my mother is a woman who, every time I open my mouth, which, well, every, she used to say every time I open my mouth it was a sermon. It's not actually true, because there wasn't any point, you know. I just used to talk about God, but he was in my life, so it was just that. But I really didn't do any sermons. And my mum's sort of statement on doing stuff wrong was, she didn't believe that she'd ever done anything in her entire life that required her to say sorry for anything. So I thought, okay, well, like, okay, Mom, right, that's you and Jesus, okay. And I'm sitting there going, well, I can tell you right now that you've done a lot of stuff to me that you really should get sorted out. But, you know, she just completely blind to that. So I knew where I stood on the Christian thing. I also knew that that was completely and utterly God's department, because there was nothing I was ever going to be able to say that would make sense or do that, it, you know, bring clarity or anything. And so here's God saying to me that I will have a mother's love, her love, in heaven. So I knew he was going to deal with the salvation thing. And I knew that I would have it for eternity. I knew that she would be free to love me. And you know what? Instantly, the little girl disappeared. And the 52-year-old stood there going, okay, God, that's a great deal. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm up for that. And she's never come back, the hurt little girl. You know, she's gone. And then I had to go back and see, I went back for my niece's wedding. Fantastic, had a great time. Had a really good time with Mum. And, you know, that was good, as good as it can be with Mum. And, you know, we didn't talk a lot, of course. Watched a lot of tennis, that's fine. And then this time when we were going back, it was like, okay, this is kind of the test really to see if, you know, if it's what I believe has happened. But about 6 months ago, I was at home just pottering around and I was kind of just doing stuff and I stopped in my tracks and it really was a, what are you saying, God? And I had the overwhelming sense that God and Mum were doing some talking. And I thought, okay, well, you always said you'd do that, so, okay, do what you got to do. Say what you got to say to us, you know. And then a few days later, I thought, you know, stop in your tracks kind of thing again. I thought, ah, it's done, isn't it? She's at peace. She's given up fighting. She's given up all of the, you know, all of that, you know, all of what has made her who she is. And she's at peace now, you know. And I thought, brilliant, you know. When we arrived home, my family, two or three comments, oh, Mum seems really mellow these days. And I'm thinking, really, that's funny. I wonder why, you know. I know why, you know. And also in that time frame, I have come into a place where I would never be able to use the words. The word love to anyone was extremely difficult word for me to use, and I wouldn't happily or easily use that. So you get married, you have children, you learn, you know, God is moving again, looking at all these journeys, God is moving, he's changing me. And Mum, I was on the phone one day to Mum, and God said, tell her that you love her. And I was like, well, no, you can't, I can't do that. And then I thought, you know what? I can actually do that because I do love her and I've never told her, but yes, it is actually true and living in my life. So I said, Mum, I love you, and I could hear her crying on the end of the phone, so I thought, just leave it at that, you know, and say goodbye and all the rest of it. Next time on the phone, and I thought, oh, you know, I can say it again. So I said, you know, I really love you, Mum. And she said to me, same to you. And I went, okay. In fact, I was so astounded at that I rang up Daniel and said, Mum said same to you. Mum said same to you. You have to understand, 52, 53 years old, never heard my mum say, I love you. Never seen it written in a card. Never had any of that expression, none of it. And it was astounding. The next time I was talking to Mum again, saying, I love you, and she said, I love you too. And I went, oh my goodness. Now, instantly God comes in and goes, whoa, 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 whoa. She's not you. Don't get too excited, okay? Just enjoy that moment. Enjoy what I've given you. You might never hear that again, and it's okay. Because you're going to get it in heaven, remember? Yeah. Don't put any pressure. Don't have any expectations. She's not you. She hasn't changed, okay? Right. Yes, no, I needed to hear that. Okay. So we go back, and it's great with Mum. No anger, no even slightly heightened emotions, no kind of anticipation of an argument, no nothing. We had some time with my mum and at my sister's house, and then we had a week with my mum, birthday party, and then we all left, and it was amazing. And I'm standing here going, God, I'm at the end of my path to freedom. This is it, isn't it? I've journeyed with this. It's taken 35 years, but I wouldn't have regretted one of those years. Maybe I wish that it had happened a bit sooner, but, you know, that was up to me as well. But I love that woman. She's never going to change. There might be one or two softer things, but I don't care. You know, I know what's waiting for me, and I really hope that she lives as long as she can. And, you know, just it's an incredible place to stand there and go, oh my, what a journey. And I couldn't have done it without him. I wouldn't have had the courage or the strength. And it wasn't that he just did this. It was because he started all these other things. Now, here's the beauty of that. On this side is my sister, an equally difficult relationship. Brother who barely speaks to me. Okay, they're the next. Mum, Dad, tick, tick. Okay, these guys. This is the thing. God absolutely loves relationships. And whatever state they're in, and the family ones do seem to be the ones that he starts with first. They are the hardest. They are the ones that inflict the most pain and the most grief and cause you the most heartache. But it is well worth it. Take your time constraints off it and go, God, just take me on this journey to freedom. So, on the very last night, my brother and my sister-in-law say to me, we're going to come and see you in 2 years' time. So I said, you know what, guys, I really need you to communicate with me. I need relationship with you. I actually really need that. I have a need of this, okay? My sister-in-law said, you know what? We have been very insular people. And then my niece and my sister-in-law, my niece and her husband said, we're going to come and see you as well. So suddenly now, this restoration has taken place here. Now God is saying, okay, these guys. And I just said to the Lord, look, you got 2 years until they come. Do whatever you got to do in me and them, because they really need you. And I am thrilled. I'm looking at that, and everyone's in it, my mom and my dad and all my family. And they're all people like me and like you. They're all hurt, and they are hurting every single person in that group. You know, just like every other family. They don't mean to. I know that. I know they don't mean to. But they can't help themselves. They're just really locked into a place of real hurt and real fear and real torment. My sister, she's the product of a broken home who I met with God and got him, and he healed me and dealt with that. She never has. She's never had any of that. My brother was 13 and in a horrendous accident that affected his face. So all his life, he looked different, really different to people. Do you think that's been easy? No. You know, and I know what it's been like for him. And yet, you know, look at all these people and you think, they're my family, you know. And I really love these guys. But I can only stand here because of all the journeys that God's taken me on and saying, these guys are really valuable to me. And I'm going to do everything I can to show them how valuable they are to me and ultimately to God. Because they need him. They need him more than they need my love. And And yet we're, my family, are the keys to that, and I'm the real key. My encouragement to you today is, don't not say yes to the journey. It isn't just this. It's all this other stuff. It's actually knowing that you're valued, you're loved, asking God every single thing to deal with those things, every single hurt. And it doesn't matter if you come from the best Christian family or whatever your family looks like. You might look like, your family might look like mine, or even more complicated. But when you say yes to God and you say, do what you have to do in me to get to them. I didn't know when I said yes to him, who are you? I want you in my life, that he would do all of that. You know, he would actually say, these guys are my ultimate goal. I thought it was all about me. I thought it was just about healing me. But these are his ultimate goal. And I am so grateful to God. I am so thankful that he looked down on me and thought, this girl is lost, but she's not gone, and I'm going to get her. And actually saying yes to him, and then saying yes to every single thing. It was hard to say to people, I hate myself so much that I wanted to kill myself. It was, you know, that's being really honest. It was hard saying a lot of that stuff. It was hard looking in the mirror and saying, you're beautiful. Are you kidding? Do you see what's looking at you? She's not beautiful, man. She's really ugly. And going, no, you know, he's saying that about me. I need to believe what he's saying, not what I and my family and everyone else has told me I look like. And the enemy, of course, you know. And actually agreeing, and friends and love and relationships and, you know, I haven't even talked about relationships. That's a whole other area that's going up that way. You know, when you say yes to him, it's not just one thing he works on. It's this whole strata of things. It's like the veins. It's like all the veins in your body. They all make your body live. And you need them to be whole and to be breathing and living. And that's exactly what it is with God. We're made up like that, with our experiences, and every single one, he goes, no, we're going to deal with this. And yeah, they're hard, but actually it's better to say, just do what you have to do. Just, you know, I know with my mum that it's me who's going to be pushing that along. I know with my family, it's going to be me who does it. But that's okay. That's all right. I have the capacity to do it because of everything that he's done in me. They don't. They only have the capacity to let me down. But because I can keep going back to God and going, it's okay. There's no weight to what they do or don't do. I am generally standing here and saying, I am free in this area. I am absolutely free. I have no, you know, the kick, the fight, the little girl is completely and utterly gone. Anyway, that's my journey to freedom.